your house this morning on your day. And we just ask, Father, that your presence would come in and help us and encourage us. And some days we just need that more than others. And this is, for me, this is one of those days. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to see you. I need to speak to you. Lord, I need you more than anything. I need you more than anyone. And help us this morning as we come into your house to worship you. We want it to be all about you, not about us. We worship the name of Jesus, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Love you too.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. But heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. A hallelujah.
that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now.
This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus.
Remember that that took our breath away, made so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper.
Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but him. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. Before the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Before the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God.
You are maker. patient and merciful giver of grace upon the world. Satisfied simply by being who you've always been. You are infinite love and you prove it again and again.
Jesus, you are enough. Jesus, you are enough for me. With nothing, I still have everything. Jesus, you are enough for me. Jesus, you are enough. Jesus, you are enough for me.
All right, if you have your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter 7 as we go through the book of Matthew's on Sunday. Book of Matthew on Sundays. Matthew chapter 7, just one verse this morning, verse 12. We often call it the golden rule. Just this one verse. Next Sunday, Easter. I thought I would do, you know, more of a getting ready for Easter, but the more I thought about it, now I'm just going to stay with where we are. Matthew 7, 12, and the title page already done, but it's simply do. Golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It's somewhat of an outline on the backside of your announcements. You'd like to use that. Before I get to that part of it, I'm going to take you back memory lane a little bit, okay? Think back. This isn't going to affect everybody, but I'm going to catch a few of us in the room. So if you're a parent, if you are a parent in the room and you have multiple children, more than one, okay? So there's that. Or if you are, okay, a lot of you are not parents, I get that. So if you are have multiple siblings, brothers and sisters, more than one. Okay, so if you're a parent and you've had multiple children, or if you were raised in a home where you had more than one brother or sister, on a road trip, in the back seat of the car, or whatever, SUV, okay? If your parent had more than one child in the back seat on a road trip, or if you were raised in a home and you had more had brothers and sisters in the back seat of the car on a road trip, you remember what that was like? Yeah. Just think about that a minute. It's not pleasant, is it? Last summer, I think it was, Dina and I went to Missouri and got three of our grandchildren, brought them back here for a week. Well, it's been a while since I've had multiple children in the back seat. So we brought them back here for a week. And on the way home from Missouri, it's a two-hour drive, so on the way home, I told my grandchildren, I said, now, we've got two different things we could do this week. One of them is go to the Spring River. That's about an hour away, so it's an hour drive. The other is to go to Blanchard Springs and the cave and all that. That's about a two-and-a-half-hour drive or so, and you just choose whatever you want. By the time we got home, I said, okay, Pop's made the decision. It's Spring River. We're only going to do an hour, and that's it. In the back seat, multiple children, what do you hear? He's touching me. He's touching me. And so mom or whoever says, look, if you don't touch her or him, then he won't touch you. And he's touching me, and we heard, he's breathing on me. He's breathing on me. And I said, stop breathing. Stop breathing. He's looking at me. He's looking at me. And, you know, okay, if you would stop touching him or her, then she will stop touching you. If you will stop breathing on them, they will stop breathing on you. If you will stop looking at them, you get the point. Some of you have never been through that. You don't remember the joy of all of that. But we have been somewhat, quite a bit, indoctrinated with that thought. If you will not do that to someone else, they will not do that to you. But that isn't what Jesus said, is it? That is not the golden rule. The golden rule is not, if you don't bother somebody, they won't bother you. That's not what the golden rule says. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, on your hard copy of the outline, it's not, this particular part won't be on the screen, but it says, others have taught what may seem close to what Jesus taught, just like the analogy I just gave you. That seems close to it, but it's really not the same thing. And then the question is, can you see the difference? This is how Socrates put it. What stirs your anger when done to you by others, that do not to others, but that's not what Jesus said. Then what's the next one? Confucius, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. But let's go back, Matt, if you don't mind, let's just go back and put Matthew 7:12 up again. What a lot of us parents, and we were raised in school, raised in home, heard other people say it, was don't bother other people and they won't bother you. But that isn't what Jesus said. That's the passive part. If you will keep your hands to yourself, kind of thing. Keep your breath to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your eyes to yourself. Now, I want to make sure you understand, that's not sinful. What Socrates and Confucius and your mom told you is not wrong. It's just not what Jesus said. Because we've taught and we've been taught that, hey, if you'll stop doing bad things to people, they will stop doing bad things to you. There's a lot of truth in that. But see, that's passive. If you'll keep your hands to yourself. Nothing wrong with that. But that's just not what Jesus said. He said what you do to them. He didn't talk about what you don't do. He didn't talk about what you should stop doing. I believe the devil takes a good intention, a good thing that we have taught and been taught. I think he takes that good intention and he just encourages us to keep it to ourselves. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. And you're better off. You're safer. There's some truth to that. If you'll just not do anything, if you'll not upset anyone, if you'll not try to reach anyone, if you'll not try to help anyone, nobody can blame you for doing nothing. But see, in a way, our good teaching has become that, to where we're afraid to do anything because it might upset. We're afraid to do anything because it might offend, and et cetera, and et cetera. But that isn't what Jesus taught. He said, do what you want people to do to you, you do to them. You take the first step. That's not passive. That's action. That's positive, not passive. It's positive. You do it. So I was working on the message. While I was working on the message at the first of the week, a friend of mine is going through a really difficult time. Anyway, just going through a really bad time, difficult time, one of the worst. And I thought, I need to go see him. I need to go help him. I need to go pray for him. I need to go do something because I know what he's going through, and so I need to do something. But then started in my own mind what a lot of us do. I don't know. I can't say that you struggle with this, but I do struggle with this. I started making excuses. Well, you know, I don't want to bother him. And he's going through such a difficult time, I'm afraid that I would bother him more than I would help him. And, you know, there's some truth to that. But I didn't want to disturb him. I didn't want, you know, on and on and on. You know how that goes. I just kept on with this, with my self-thought, thinking this in my mind, all the reasons that maybe I shouldn't reach out. All the reasons that maybe I shouldn't go and help him or go and pray for him. I don't want to say excuses because they really weren't that, but I was just reasoning in my mind maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I just need to leave things alone. And then you know what I thought to myself? What in the world is wrong with you? To myself, what in the world is wrong with you? Why are you thinking like that? What has gotten into you? Your friend needs help. Your friend needs prayer. And you're making all these excuses is too strong a word, but all these things are going through in your mind why you shouldn't. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, go over in your mind all the reasons why you shouldn't. Don't go over in your mind all the reasons why you can't. What did he say? Do it. That's what he said. Do it. Do it. Do to him. Do for him. Do with him what you would want somebody to do to you. Why aren't other people doing it? Because they're going through all the mind, all the reasons and excuses why, oh, well, I don't need to be involved and I don't know that I could help and I wouldn't do a very good job and they don't want to see me and on and on and on. I promise you, if I was in my friend's shoes, I would want people to come and pray for me. I would want people to knock on my door. I would want people to take my time up. I would want that. I would want him to do for me what I was making all these excuses of why I wouldn't or can't or shouldn't do for him. I would want him to come to my house. I would want him to talk to me for me. I would want him to pray for me. I would want him to do that for me. Then what's Jesus say to do? Do it. Do it. What is wrong with you? I said to myself. What has gotten into you that you would hesitate like this? You know. You know better. Talking to myself. You know better. Snap out of it. Get over it. Go over there and pray for him. What are you waiting on? I did. I didn't want to beat myself up more. Look at Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God. Either Satan is trying to plant that in your mind, or you've just planted it in your own mind. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, who did have a timid mind, and he did have a timid spirit. But Paul is saying for a big part of that section of chapter 1, Timothy, you just got to get over that, okay? You just got to get over that. There's stuff that God's got for you to do, and I realize that you have a timidity about you, but I'm telling you that has not come from God, and he's got stuff for you to do. So God's not given us a spirit of fear. That all those reasons and excuses that I was promoting in my own mind of maybe, you know, why I shouldn't. And I don't know that it was all fear. I didn't want to disturb. And just all the stuff that was going on, that was not coming from God. That was coming from me. And I could just hear the Holy Spirit saying to myself, listen, and I need you to apply this to you now. Instead of me just getting up here and beating myself up, I want to beat you up a little bit, you know, to spread this around. But the Holy Spirit saying to me, somewhere along the line, you've got to get over yourself. Okay? Somewhere along the line, you've got to get over yourself. And all these thoughts and excuses and reasons why you shouldn't reach out and you shouldn't do something for someone, that's coming from you. It's not coming from God. God's not giving you that spirit of fear. Well, I don't know how it's going to turn. You know, you can just go on. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how they're going to receive it. I don't know. Of course you don't know. None of us do. If you were down, if you were out, if you needed prayer, if you needed a helping hand, if you needed somebody to reach out to you, wouldn't you love it if they did that? Excuse me. Then you do that for them. There's a spirit sometimes we get into of being passive and hesitant. Passive and hesitant. And all kinds of excuses. But the Word of God is positive. He's saying, I want you to do this. Now, first word in Matthew 28, 19. Go. Don't even have to read all the rest of it. Go. Didn't say stop. Didn't say stand still. It says go. Now, The last screen we're going to put up, and we're going to end here. You go first. You go first. I don't know if you caught this. James and I did not plan this at all, but we opened the service with me praying, and James came up here and stood beside me and prayed for me. Why did he do that? Did I ask him to do it? No. I was praying, I had my eyes closed, and I didn't have any idea anybody was even standing there, and I felt James put his hand on my arm and on my shoulder. Why did James do that? I think God's in it, for one thing. James, I don't know, I'm going to put you on the spot. You don't have to say anything, because when you were thinking, did you come up with some excuses why maybe you shouldn't come up here and do that? Okay, because we do that. You were probably thinking, well, you know, I don't want to, whatever, stand out. I don't want to make a mistake, you know. But James, you'll never know, because you didn't know what I was going to preach. You'll never know how much what you did confirmed that what this is what's supposed to be said. I wonder how many times you sit in the pew and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You feel Him nudging you to do something, and you don't do it because you don't see anyone else doing it. What's the answer? You go first. You see, you're waiting for somebody else. I don't know, but if the Holy Spirit was speaking to anybody else in the church this morning except James, there's no way for me to know that. See, sometimes you're waiting for somebody else, and it could be that the Holy Spirit's not speaking to anyone else about whatever it is. So if we're in the sanctuary, we're at church, doing, and something comes up, something's going on, we're praying, we're doing whatever, and the Holy Spirit urges you, nudges you to do this, urges you to do that. There's the biblical word is unction. There's this unction of His Spirit to move, to say something, to go pray for someone, and you don't do it because you're waiting on somebody else. It could be that there's somebody in the congregation who needs to be prayed for, and you're hesitant because you're not sure if it's going to come out right. You're not sure if it's going to be received well. But if you came to church, if you came to church today or any day, if you came to church and you just desperately needed somebody to pray for you, like I did this morning, and you would just love it if somebody came up and put their arm on your arm or their hand on your shoulder and prayed for you. Wouldn't you love it when you come to church and you need that so much, and you love it when somebody does that for you? The word is, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Okay? That's action. That's positive. It's not passive. We've got to get over our passivity. We've got to get over our hesitancy. And when I say we, I mean me. The Holy Spirit's nudging us, moving us, the unction, and we're just sitting there doing nothing because we're afraid. You go first. Stop waiting on somebody else. You go first. Okay? I don't know any other way to say it, so I'm going to stop. Grady, are you in charge of the invitation, the music this morning? Then you go first and get up here. Usually I have you stand. I want you to just stay in your seat for a little bit. And let's, as Grady prepares, but Grady, give me a minute, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask you, while you're still in your seat, to bow your head with me. What is the Holy Spirit been saying to you? What has the Holy Spirit been leading you to? What has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you about? What is it that God is dealing with you about? And for some reason, you're making all kinds of excuses, and you're dealing with all kinds of doubts because of all kinds of reasons why you're not going to do what he's asking you to do. There's all kinds of things that flood our mind and our heart and our soul of reasons why we don't do it. Maybe we're waiting on somebody else to do it, but the Holy Spirit's not speaking to them. He's speaking to you. Is there somebody that the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about to go and see, to go and pray for, to go and talk to go and witness to go and help, to go and be an encouragement to? And for some reason, you're putting it off. For some reason, you're not doing it. And you've got all kinds of reasons why you're not doing it. But what you're not doing is you're not doing for them what you would love for somebody to do for you. So we're just going to start doing what the Holy Spirit leads us to. That's really what it's always going to come down to. We're going to start doing what the Holy Spirit leads us to. Is there somebody in church this morning that you have on your mind that you could go and pray for, that you just, for some reason, you sense in your spirit, or maybe you just flat out know it, they're going through a really difficult time, and I know they are, and I want to help them, I want to encourage them. Is there somebody in the room this morning, in the same room as you, that you sense or you just know they really need prayer, they really need help? And I know it, and the Lord's talking to me about it right now. And I have no reason to not pray for them, to encourage them. I have no reason to not do that, other than just reasons that I'm making up in my own mind. Well, I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to go first. I'm going to stop waiting on everybody else to act. And I'm going to act. I'm going to move. I'm going to do something. There's no way for me to know what the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about. I know what I've been through. I know what he's talked to me about this week. And I know what he's talking to me about right now. But I don't know what he's saying to you. What is it that the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about? And you just need to act. You need to do it. Right now, I'm going to ask you to stand. What we're going to do is pray. And that's what this time is. This is our invitation, our prayer time. We come to an altar and pray. Before you act, you may want to come to an altar and pray. So, Lord, I need help with this. I'm not good enough, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to stop making excuses, and I'm just going to do it, but God, I need your help. God, I need your help. And that's what a big part of our prayer time is. God, I'm going to be obedient to what your Spirit's saying, but I need your help. So I need to come and pray. And then there may be someone in the house that you may want to go just grab their hand or touch their arm and say, hey, you know, can I pray for you? Can I help you? Can I encourage you? Don't you think that you would love that if somebody did that for you? Then go and do that for someone else. Whatever the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about, speaking to you about, that's what this time is for us to pray about that. So as Grady plays and sings, the altars are here. If you need to come and pray, just asking you to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you in Jesus' name.
In the morning when I rise, In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And when I am alone, is when I am alone. And when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And when I come to die, yes, when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus.